today. We're talking about Solomon the Wise. We are in a series called The Leading Voice. And I've been talking about the importance of valuing and hearing the voice of God. How many of you have gotten something from this series? Or maybe it's started a new journey, maybe, or encouraged you to continue to press in to get closer to God and to hear His voice. How many say this has been good? I've needed it, even myself. But this is part of an ongoing theme throughout this season that we've called From Genesis to Jesus. And we've been reading through some of the history of the Bible and looking at certain figures from biblical history. And last week I talked about David and how he would go into his tent and pray before he would go out to battle, and he would get direction from the leading voice of God. And today we're going to be looking at his son, Solomon, Solomon the Wise. But I'm also going to expedite some of this history, and we're going to look at a few of the other kings of Israel after Solomon in this message this morning. Today I want to look at how God speaks to us, though. And this is, for some of you, this is going to be a refresher. But for many of you, this may be something that you've not considered before. And this is sort of a basic Christianity 101. But learning how God speaks to us is so vital. Let me tell you why. God speaks to us in many ways. And you may say, well, why doesn't he just talk? Why doesn't he just talk to us? If he speaks in many different ways, why does he choose to do it that way? Why not just talk to us? I want to answer that question with a question. And I know I used to hate it when teachers did that. One of my favorite comedians, Brian Regan, said, oh, that's an option? You can answer a question with a question? And so his teacher in school asked him one time a question that he didn't know, and he said, I'll answer that question with a question. How much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck chuck? Anyway. But I'm going to answer the question, why doesn't God just talk? I'm going to answer that with a question today. Why don't you? Why don't you just talk? Because if you think about it, we communicate to each other in many different ways. Sometimes, yes, we talk. We talk to each other. We talk to each other either face-to-face, sometimes on the phone. Sometimes, have you noticed that less and less people actually talk on the phone anymore? Sometimes I get a phone call and I'm like, oh, I'm going to wait for the text. But but sometimes we talk face-to-face. Sometimes we talk on the phone or FaceTime or whatever. So sometimes, yes, we do talk, but sometimes we text. This is the way we communicate today. You may be in here and saying, well, I don't like that, but that's the way it is. You can't beat it, join it. So sometimes we text, sometimes we send an email. Sometimes if you're really old school, you'll send a letter, snail mail, or a note or something. That's a way we communicate with people, and it's the way we've communicated with people for many years. Now, I know texts and emails are relatively new in comparison to letters, but it's still a way that we've communicated throughout centuries, is sending notes and letters written. And another way we communicate, and think about this, you probably don't think about this as communication, but you've done it. We've all done it. We sometimes will communicate to someone else through someone. Have you ever said this before? Hey, when you see so-and-so, tell them thus and such. Now, you didn't say it that way, but you know what I'm saying. I'll give you an example. Christine Teal back here, she's mine and Jennifer. She assists us in a lot of things. And one of the things that she helps with is sending out a lot of the communication and the emails. And I asked her a while back if she would send out an email to our leaders. And I was talking to her face-to-face. That was communication face-to-face. And she said she'd be happy to. And then I went home and I sent her then a written email with all the details. And then she's the one that sent it out. So you have almost all various forms of communication happening there. There was the face-to-face discussion. There was the written email. And then through her, a message was sent from me. And you've done that. Another one involving the Teals just recently. They went to visit some family, and I'm friends with the family they went to visit. We hadn't seen them in a while. And I just said, hey, tell John and Sherry whenever you see them that we said hi and we love them. You've done that before. You've communicated through someone else. You've communicated through a written form. And you've talked. You've communicated face-to-face or in a conversation. So we ask this question, why doesn't God just talk? Well, think about it. He communicates in many of the same ways that we do. He talks to us and communicates with us in many of the same ways that we do with each other. And so this is a message on how God communicates and talks to us. If you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. And if you want to, you can also hold your place in 2 Kings 22, because we're going to start with Solomon, but we're going to look at some, like I said, some of the other leaders and some of the other kings throughout this biblical history here. 1 Kings chapter 3, starting in verse 5. Let me just ask you as you're turning. God came to Solomon, and we're going to read about this in a minute, and asked him, what can I give you? What can I do for you? Does anybody remember what Solomon asked for? Huh? Wisdom. Okay. And you're right. You're right about that. So Solomon was known as the wisest man that ever lived. But let's look at what wisdom really is here. In verse 5 of 1 Kings chapter 3, starting in verse 5, it says, "At Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, 'Ask, what shall I give you?' And Solomon said, 'You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you.'" We just talked about David last week, how, again, he would go in to pray. He wouldn't do anything without a hearing the leading voice of God, the word of God. So Solomon's talking about his history, his father. Says, you showed mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth and righteousness and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, verse 7, "Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child." Now, if you had read just before, you'd realize that he really wasn't a little child. He's speaking figuratively here. He's saying, because he had just traveled to Egypt and married Pharaoh's daughter. You don't do that if you're a little child, okay? So what he was saying was, compared to my dad, I feel like a little child. I've inherited the throne, and he was such a great leader, and I don't know that I know what I'm doing. I feel like, that's what he's saying here, I feel like a little child. So he says, "I do not know how to go out or come in." Now, do you think that means he had a problem with doorknobs? Poor Solomon. He didn't know how to even walk through a door. No, that's not what it means, okay? This is a strange thing to say, but it's actually all throughout the Bible. And what it means is that he did not know how to come into the presence of the Lord and hear God's leading voice in order to go out then and lead the people. He didn't know how to do. He didn't know how to come in to the presence of the Lord to hear his voice and then go out to lead the people. This is what we learned about last week with David. David would go into the presence of the Lord, hear the leading voice of God, and then come out and instruct his armies and lead the people. And so that's what it says, is, "I do not know how to go out or come in." Verse 8, "And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Most people say and believe that Solomon asked for wisdom. And in a way, that is true. But what is wisdom? He says, "I need an understanding heart and the ability to discern good from evil." In other words, what Solomon was really asking for was the ability to come into the presence of the Lord like his father and hear the leading voice of God and then go out and lead the people in the right direction instead of the evil way or the wrong way. Just like his father, that's what he wanted to do. And he wanted to be able to lead wisely. There have been lots of books, whole big books, written on the subject of wisdom. And what is wisdom? Can I just kind of encapsulate just in one sentence here and tell you a true definition of wisdom? Wisdom is hearing and obeying the voice of God. That's really what wisdom is. It's learning how to discern what is not God in his voice or other voices and what really is the voice of God, and then obeying. It's not enough to just hear, but it's putting that in that faith into action and obeying. Wisdom is hearing and obeying the voice of God. Because if we are wise in our own eyes, if we think we've got it all figured out, we are heading for a great fall, the Bible says. And so we need to understand that God is the only true wise one. And wisdom is not life experience. It's not knowledge or book learning. Nothing wrong with those things. In fact, they help in many times, but wisdom goes beyond all that, and it's hearing God's leading voice and then obeying what he says. This is wisdom, hearing and obeying the voice of God. He would later write this to his own son. This is Solomon again in Proverbs chapter 3. You don't have to turn there, but he writes this to his own son, verses 5 and through 7. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." Now, how can you do that if you don't listen and hear and obey the leading voice of God? He goes on to write in verse 7, he says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." And we're going to see in a minute how his son did not listen to his wise counsel here. He didn't listen to God, but he listened to the wrong voices. But Solomon wanted wisdom, and he knew the only way to get it. And I want to tell you today, first of all, you need wisdom. In fact, he writes in Proverbs chapter 4, put that next one up there. He says, this is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom in all you're getting, get understanding. He says, this is the principal thing. Now remember, this is the inspired word of God. God is saying, in other words, wisdom is the principal thing. In all of your getting, in other words, in all of your pursuits in life, the one thing that you must pursue is wisdom. But what is wisdom? It's hearing and obeying the voice of God. And so that's what he wanted. He wanted to hear and obey, the ability to talk to God in prayer and hear his wisdom on any matter. This is the great privilege of being a follower of Jesus Christ. It's the great privilege to be able to come. And here's the thing you need to understand. They didn't have something back then in the Old Testament quite like we have today. Because in the New Testament era that we live in today, we have the Holy Spirit. And Jesus talked about this, and I've made mention this before. I got to find the verse. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. John chapter 16, it's a couple of slides ahead there, Blake. But verse 13, Jesus said, "When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." And so we have that incredible privilege of being able to come into the presence of the Lord. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, we are accepted in the Beloved. We can come into his presence, and his Holy Spirit can fill our lives. And we can hear his voice. This is a great privilege, one we need to not take lightly. We need to understand that God speaks to us, and this is such an awesome, I don't know how to say it any other way than privilege. Do you realize what a privilege it is to be able to talk to God? We really should be grateful. We really should be thankful that we can come into his presence and have his wisdom. So wisdom is hearing the leading voice of God. So how does God speak? In much the same way we communicate with others, God communicates to us. Number one, he does talk. He will talk to you. In fact, he wants to talk to you. And I've already talked about this throughout this whole series, but he really wants to talk to you. In the case of Solomon, he spoke to him, first of all, here in a dream. But he talked. In my own life, God first showed up in a dream. And I don't know why that is in some people's cases and in other people's they don't. But in my case, God showed up first in a dream. And I think it has to do with the fact that we live busy lives. We fill our mind with busyness. And then and if we ever have those moments of peace where we can rest and be still and get into the presence of God, instead we fill it with other distractions. We'll turn on the music or earphones, or we'll watch something on TV until we finally get tired and we go to sleep. And it's like the only time we're still and the only time the Holy Spirit can get our attention is when we're asleep. But God wants to have a relationship with you where you're awake. He doesn't want to continue a relationship with you always just in dreams. But sometimes he starts with people there, and that's the case with me. He just started with me by speaking to me one night in a dream. And that's how he started with Solomon as well. But I had to develop my hearing ear through prayer and through worship. But he first showed up and began to talk to me in a dream. But he talked. He talked to Solomon. God wants to talk to us. He wants to talk to you all the time. In the case of Abraham and Moses and Joshua, God showed up literally and spoke to them face to face. I think sometimes that's what we're waiting on. We want God to do that with us as well. And in fact, that's one of the prophets I'm going to mention here is the prophet Elijah. That's how he wanted God to show up. Either he wanted that face-to-face contact or he wanted some sort of dramatic sign. Sometimes that's what we ask for. That's what we're expecting. That's what we want. We want thunder and lightning. We expect God to show up. And turn over a few pages to 1 Kings. You're in 1 Kings still. Look at 1 Kings chapter 19. Turn over quite a few pages. This is Elijah, another great leader. He was a prophet. He wasn't a king. But 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11 says, then he said, go out. This is God talking to him. Said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Another way of saying still small voice is a whisper. Let me ask you a question. If I didn't have this microphone and I started whispering up here, how would you hear me? Get quiet. That's good. That's a good start. Let's try this, Stephen. Stephen, don't turn it off just yet. But here in a minute, I'm going to whisper something that will literally change your life for the better. Turn off my mic. I don't know. Tell me your name.
Justin.
Did I put you up to this? I just met you. What I said was get close to God. Justin, you're the only one who got it too. I feel sorry for the rest of it. Let's give Justin a hand. That's true, though. The only way you hear a still small voice, the only way you hear a whisper is when you get close to somebody. This is so basic and yet so revolutionary. Revelational, if you think about it. You want to hear God. This is probably the most often asked question, not just me, but any pastor hears. How do I know the will of God? How can I hear God? And it's so easy. Get close to Him. Because He doesn't like to show up in the dreams all the time. He doesn't want to show up for whatever reason. He doesn't want to show up in the smoke and the mountains and the fire and the earthquakes and the wind and the storm and the lightning and the thunder. He wants an intimate relationship with each of us. And the only way to hear that still small voice that He most often wants to speak and communicate with is through a closeness. So get close to Him. That's the way we hear Him talk the most. And the way we get close to Him is we become people of prayer. We become people of worship. We become people who are constantly being filled with, baptized with the Holy Spirit poured out into our lives. We have an intimate relationship with Him. So when we are filled with the Holy Spirit and we begin to worship God, that's how we come into His presence. We build our relationship with Him. We start praying. We start talking to Him and listening, getting close to Him. He speaks back to us in that still small voice, talking to us. So God talks. Another way to communicate, He communicates to us is through wise counsel. This is number two, wise counsel. Now, I talked about Solomon's son who did not listen to the wise counsel of his father. Let's look at this next king of Israel. Turn back to 1 Kings chapter 12. I know we're going all over today, but I just want to kind of give you a synopsis. The next king of Israel, after Solomon died, his son Rehoboam became king. This is from 1 Kings chapter 12. Look in verse 6. It said, "Then King Rehoboam consulted with the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived." Now, let's just stop right there and think about that for just a minute. Even though Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived, he still had elders that gave him counsel. Did you ever stop to think about that? How on earth are you going to be a counselor to the wisest man who ever lived that was given wisdom from God? Part of the reason I believe he was so wise was because he had wise counselors, people who helped to discern the voice of God, that wisdom. So Solomon, let me just say this, if Solomon needed some wise counsel, how much more do we need it? And so let's just read that again. "Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived. And he said, 'How do you advise me to answer these people?' And they spoke to him saying, 'If you will be a servant to these people today and serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever.'" But sometimes that's not a good word. "But he rejected the advice which the elders had given him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him, who stood before him." Now, for the sake of time, I'm not going to read the rest, but just tell you what happened. Instead of listening to the wise counsel of the elders of his father, he decided to listen to his peers. He decided to listen to people who would tell him what he wanted to hear. He decided to listen to his peers, and because of it, the people rejected him as king, and he lost 10 of the 12 tribes of Israel that day because he would not listen to wise counsel. Sometimes God confirms his word and speaks through wise counselors. And when Rehoboam would not listen to his own father Solomon's advice, But instead, listen to his peers. What happened in his kingdom was division. When we don't hear the voice of God and when we don't walk in wisdom, it always leads to divisiveness in our life. In his case, it divided the kingdom. Only two of the 12 tribes of Israel stayed with him. All of Israel went and chose a new king, and that king led them into idolatry. Only Rehoboam, who made the mistake, only Rehoboam, though, kept Judah. Now there's the nation of Judah and the nation of Israel. Israel rejected God, worshiped false gods. Only the two tribes that stayed with Rehoboam continued to worship the one true God in Judah, the nation of Judah. But from that point on, the nation of Israel was divided. And not only that, let me tell you what else happened. Because the idolatry came in, God's judgment came in, and over again, there was pestilence. That's a great biblical word. Don't you love that one? Don't you just say that word all the time, pestilence? There was pestilence. There was division. There was attacks from the enemy. There was famine. There was drought. And eventually they were overran by their enemies and they were brought into exile, they were brought into bondage, and they ended up in slavery. And this would happen. A prophet would show up, like Elijah that we talked about, and call the people to repent, and they would repent, they'd come back, and they'd take their land for a little while, but then sooner or later, because of this division, they'd start worshiping idols and then start all over and over. And it was just a cycle, an ongoing cycle throughout the rest of the history of the Old Testament. And I believe it started when Rehoboam said, I'm not going to listen to wise counsel. Let me just tell you, not listening to wise counsel can have devastating consequences. We need it in our lives. And God speaks to us through wise counsel. Have you ever noticed, though, how the younger generation always seems to think that they are somehow smarter than the previous generations? And sometimes they are. I mean, my daughter's here. Even my younger daughter, Annie, she can figure out this thing here, this iPad, or my computer, or my smartphone, better than I can. Sometimes they are smarter in some areas. But here's the truth. Old dad's been around the sun a few more times. I've picked up a few things along the way. And they would be wise to listen to me. I'm just playing. She's very... Well, anyway. But I remember when I was young, and I thought my parents and my grandparents' generations were so antiquated. It seemed like they were so out of touch. I thought I had it all figured out, and I listened to much like Rehoboam here, I listened to my peers more than I did my elders. I remember my grandmother was a voice of wisdom and counsel in my life, and I failed to listen to her more often than not. But she was a praying grandma, and she heard the voice of God. And in my early 20s, I just graduated from college, and I was at a place in my life where I wasn't sure what to do next. I knew that God had called me into ministry. I'd heard the still small voice. And that was confirmed even with prophecy. And I'm going to talk about prophecy in just a minute. But that was confirmed with a prophetic word. But I didn't know what to do. Didn't know how to go about it. How do you break into ministry, you know? And my grandmother told me one day, I was working, I mean, I'd gone through Bible school. I'd gotten a degree in religious education, and I'm working on a conveyor belt in an air-conditioned coil factory. That was exciting work. Nothing wrong with it, but I was just thinking, I'm called to ministry. I've got this Bible degree, and I'm doing this. And my grandmother, I came home one day, and she said, here's what you need to do. This is wise counsel. But it was the leading voice of God speaking through that wise counsel. She said, you need to figure out the church that God has called you to be a part of. And then you need to just join that church and look for a need and fill it. And at first, again, I was like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. I really did. I wanted to just, because I was waiting for the thunder. I was waiting for the to be discovered. The next great Billy Graham or something, you know. And but then I stopped and I said, you know, she's a woman of God. And like I said about, she's been around the sun a few more times. She's picked up some things. She's learned how to hear his voice. Maybe she's right. And so I prayed. So where do you want me to go to church this Sunday? Because I'd left college, moved back to East Texas, didn't know where I was supposed to go to church yet. And I went to this church on Sunday that I felt like maybe God was leading me to. And during worship, now hear this again, during worship, the song service is more than just a concert. It's meant to be worship. It's meant to be where you engage with God. During worship, God spoke to me. I got close to him during worship. And he said, this is your church. And I immediately said, oh, there must be an opening here. They must have a need, and I'm called to ministry, and they're going to offer me a job. And I heard God say again, whether they offer you a position or not, this is where I've called you for this season of your life. And so I said, okay, and I submitted to the voice of God. I heard his voice, and I obeyed. And that Sunday, I went down, talked with one of the leaders of the church, and joined the church. And I just started looking for a need. And it wasn't, I started serving in that church. And it wasn't for nearly another year before a position actually opened, and I became the youth pastor of that church. And I was on staff there for 10 years then. But it started with a praying grandmother giving me wise counsel. You see, we need not just the still small voice. God wants to speak through that still small voice. He wants to talk to you and communicate with you. But he also speaks to us many times through wise counsel. And we need that wise counsel in our lives. The problem is God never blesses division, though, and he will only operate through agreement. And the unwise decision of Rehoboam led God's people throughout the rest of the Old Testament. If there's unrest in your life, if there seems to be a double-mindedness, a lack of unity with you, between you and others, between you and God, it's a good possibility that you're not hearing the leading voice of God, that still small voice. And it's also a good possibility that you're not listening to the wise counsel that God has brought into your life. Yet I see this all the time, people just making life-altering decisions without even consulting one person in their life that maybe God has placed there. And it's a dangerous thing to do. It really is. I'm not saying that you cannot hear God and God alone. I am saying that God often wants to confirm what he's speaking to you through wise counsel. So when we hear the whisper of God talking to us, and when we listen to wise counsel, we're going to get wisdom. A third way God talks is through prophecy. And I just mentioned this, but this is more than just a wise counselor in your life. This happens when someone begins to hear a direct word from God for you or for a group of people. Another example of this will be found in two other kings in Israel and Judah. Now the nation was divided. Israel and Judah had two new kings. Israel, the king of Israel during this time, this is in 1 Kings chapter 22. Again, if you want to turn over there, 1 Kings chapter 22. Israel's new king now is Ahab. Ahab is not a very good king. In fact, he's pretty wicked, and his wife is too. And Judah, the nation of Judah now has Jehoshaphat as their king, and he worshiped God. And Ahab wanted to go to war with Syria. Syria had taken over a portion of their country. And he said, that belongs to us. And so he called Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, and said, will you and your army go to war with me against Syria? Let's pick it up in 1 Kings chapter 22 and verse 4. And so he said to Jehoshaphat, will you go with me to fight at Ramoth-Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses. Also Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please though, now hear this, he said, in other words, he's saying, I would be happy to go with you to get back this land, to defeat the Syrians. He said, but listen to this. He said, please inquire for the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, and these were false prophets that only told the king what he wanted to hear, by the way. But he says he gathered his prophets together, about 400 men. 400. Can you imagine 400 false prophets? I mean, he surrounds himself with yes men. 400 men, and said to them, shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to fight, or shall I refrain? So they said, go up, for the Lord will deliver it into the hands of the king. But Jehoshaphat was not fooled. And listen to what he says. He says, is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him, capital H, that we may inquire of the Lord? So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is still one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say such things. The point is, Jehoshaphat valued the leading voice of God. And he wanted, and this occasion called for a prophet. So they called for this prophet, Micaiah, who gave them the true prophecy. First, he said what the other 400 false prophets said. But Ahab said, how many times have I told you to tell me the truth? And he said, he told him the true prophecy, that he would be defeated. And then, in fact, Ahab was going to die. But they didn't believe him, and they went to battle. And sure enough, Ahab, who did not value or listen to the voice of God, he was killed in that battle. Now, there's two things I want to talk to you about prophecy, and I don't have time to go into all this today, but prophecy. The first thing is this. In the New Testament era, prophecy is a little different. Just jot this down. It'll be on the screen. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 3 says, he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. So God still speaks through prophecy. He still speaks through prophets today. But if you ever receive a prophecy and it does not edify you and strengthen you and exhort you and encourage you, can I just tell you, if it doesn't comfort you, can I just tell you, that's not really a prophetic word from God. That's what prophecy does today. Prophecy today is meant to edify and encourage and exhort you. God still does speak, but usually what he's doing, even through prophecy, is, again, he's confirming something that you've already heard him say in that still small voice. Maybe you didn't recognize it at times. And there's been times in my life where that's happened, where I felt like, man, I think God is speaking that still small voice to me. But wise counsel confirms it, or a prophecy comes forth that confirms it. And it just comforts me. It encourages me to believe, again, that I'm hearing the voice of God. I told you I had received a prophetic word from a prophet years ago telling me I was called to ministry. One of the things that you need to see here is Ahab did not like the prophet. He rejected the prophecy because he didn't like the prophet. And I had received a word years ago. God had already spoken to me that he was calling me into ministry, but then this man prophesied over me. Now, back then, I sang in this youth choir. I was in college, and I was singing in a youth choir. And it was a big church that I was a part of at that point. I was in college. And this man gets up, and he he was known in our church as a prophet, and he turned around to me and pointed me out and said, come here, I have a word for you. And I did this. I didn't think he was talking to me. But I realized finally he was. And he brought me out and he prophesied over me. Now, can I be honest? Can we talk? I didn't really like the guy. I know that sounds bad for a pastor to say. Listen, we're called to love everybody. We don't have to like everybody, but we're called to love everybody. I love everybody in here, and I like most of you. I just didn't like the guy that much. I mean, he came across to me as a little self-seeking, a little arrogant. I just wasn't sure if I liked the guy. But what he prophesied over me was a direct word from God that I already had heard, that still small voice. And what he prophesied over me came to pass. Now, I just want to make it clear, prophecy is not foretelling the future. Prophecy is proclaiming a word from God. Sometimes it will have to do with your future. And in this case, it had to do with the call on my life. And he spoke it, and even though I didn't quite like the guy, I could have missed an encouraging and comforting word from God because of a personality conflict I had with this guy if I had decided not to listen to him. So years later, this prophecy had come and gone, and it had happened, and it was a word from God. I knew that he was pastoring a church. And so I'm not sure why, I just decided, hey, I'm going to go to this church. Jennifer and I, at that point, we were married, so we just decided to go there. We were in the town that he was in, and we just said, hey, it's Sunday. I don't have anywhere to go to church. Let's go to his church. And once again, in the middle of the service, I hadn't seen him, didn't know him. Once again, he stops the service in the middle. I'm not in the choir this time. I'm just in the congregation, and he points. He says, I have a word for you. He says, is this your wife? I said, yeah. He said, I've got a word for you. And can I just say, the years had not increased my like for this guy. If anything, I had grown to kind of dislike him even more. But he does this again. And the word he spoke was a direct word from God. I mean, it was so specific, and there's no way he could have known. It had to do with, we were thinking about buying another house, and we were going to sell this house, or should we use it for rental property, all this. I mean, it was just real specific. How did he know, other than the fact that he was a prophet that heard the voice of God, and it confirmed what we already thought God was saying to us, right? But I could have rejected it because I didn't quite like the guy. Listen, sometimes, you know, there's a story in the book of Numbers where God speaks through a donkey. If God can talk through a donkey, and I could use another word, if God could talk through a donkey, he can talk to you through anyone, whether you like them or not. So I just want to say prophecy is real. God can speak to you in that still small voice. He speaks through wise counsel, and he speaks through prophecy. But let me tell you one other thought about prophecy before I move on. I just want you to hear this today. Hear me say this. You can prophesy. You can prophesy. You may say, not me. Again, let me just say, if God can speak through a donkey, you can prophesy. This scripture that I have up on the board, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3, go back to two passages. Go back. Just two verses before. God says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Let me just ask you, do you desire spiritual gifts? Do you really? Do you even know all the spiritual gifts that are available to us today through the Holy Spirit? Do you desire them? God tells us to pursue love and to desire spiritual gifts. and especially that you can prophesy. Can I just tell you, each of you can not only receive prophetic words for yourself, but you can hear God and you can speak into other people's lives. You can actually speak the word of God to someone else. And you would say, I don't know if I want that responsibility. I understand it. I understand that. But again, it comes with this closeness with God. In order to receive a spiritual gift from the Holy Spirit, we have to receive the Holy Spirit and have that closeness with Him to where it's not something that we're concerned about because we are so close and in tune with God that we just know. We just know that God is speaking this. But God speaks through the still small voice. He talks to us. He speaks through wise counsel, and He speaks through prophecy. And then number four, this is my final one today, and this is an obvious one, but He speaks through His written word, the Holy Bible. Just like we communicate, talking with one another face to face, or maybe speaking and sending a message through someone else, we also communicate through text, through email, writing of letters. God also has communicated to us through His written word, the Holy Bible. He's written to us. And there's a story of another king who was just a young boy when he inherited the throne of Judah. And I ask you to hold your place in 2 Kings 22. Turn over there. Now, his name was Josiah. He was only 8 years old when he became king. Generations had passed. The people of God had not valued the voice of God. They had not valued His word. In fact, the only Bible, they called it the book of the law, the only Bible at that time had been lost. One day during this young king's reign, when he was about quite a few years after he had inherited the throne, he was in his late teens now, 18, 19 years old, he finds out about the Bible, basically. The book of the law had been discovered. Verse 11 says, "Now it happened when the king heard the words of the book of the law that he tore his clothes. He began to weep and almost like in mourning because he realized when they finally found the book of the law and they opened it up and began to read it to the king, no one had heard the written word of God in years. Generations had passed. And when they began to read it to the king, he tore his clothes and he began to weep and he began to mourn because he realized that he was in violation of God's word. That the people that he led were disobeying God and not listening to the leading voice of God. So verse 13, after they read this to him, he tells the man reading the word of God to him, in verse 13, he says, "Go inquire of the Lord for me, for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us." So now he wanted to seek prophecy. He wanted to seek wise counsel. In verse 19, if you skip down, it says, God speaks to him then and says, "Because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and a curse, and you tore your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord." And so God spared him and his generation. And Josiah became one of the greatest kings, one of the most unsung heroes in the Old Testament. You hear a lot about David and these other guys, but you don't hear a lot about Josiah. He was just a young man, but he decided, I want to hear the leading voice of God, and I want to obey God. And it started through the written word. There have been times in my life when I needed direction from God, and I have prayed, I've sought counsel, but then I read the Bible, and there it is in black and white, the answer that I needed. We read the Bible that tells us we can hear God. It tells us how to hear Him. And it tells us how we can know His leading voice. And any word from God, and I just want to say this, any word that you get from God is never going to violate what He's already written. And we even read about God's character and nature from His written word, what He's like. And so when we think He's speaking to us, if we are familiar with His written word, then we're going to know what is His character and what is His nature and what maybe is not. It helps us to discern right from wrong. So I think another reason God chooses to speak to us in these many ways is because we need those checks and balances. We kind of have a saying, and this is a lot of pastors and spiritual leaders, church leaders will say this. A lot of times people will play the God card. They'll come in and say, God told me, as if that ends all discussion. And there have been times, I'm just telling you, as a pastor, many times where I have felt like, have you sought counsel? Because what you're saying to me right now does not sound like the nature and the character of God in the Bible. In fact, what you're saying violates what God has already said, and God would never go back on His word. I had a man come into my office many years ago. He was a college student, and young man. And he had a girlfriend that had broken up with him, and he was doing everything he could to get her back. But she had gone on, and she had met another young man and had gotten engaged. And he came into my office one day, and he was just brokenhearted. And I knew he was hurting. But in the middle of all of it, he said, but God told me she was going to be my wife. And I knew he was hurting. But I also knew that he was trying to manipulate the circumstances. And that God had not actually said that to him. It's what he wanted. But it wasn't really what God wanted for him or for her. And in fact, I knew that the engagement that was happening here was of God. And they went ahead and they got married and they have a beautiful family. But here's this young man who's just brokenhearted and he's devastated. But God told me, and I had to look at him and say, I'm sorry. I know you're hurting. I know you want this to be the will of God. But it's not. It violates the wisdom of the counsel that has been given to you and been given to her. And in fact, the relationship wasn't healthy and y'all have violated the word of God, the written word of God. And finally, it just hit him. It just dawned on him. He broke down and started crying. He realized he had been trying to just manipulate the circumstances. But I see this happen so often where people will come in and say, well, God told me. And people will say, I've had people literally say this to me before, Pastor, don't tell people to hear God because they're just going to hear whatever they want to hear. I want you to hear God's voice. Can I tell you the truth? I really want you to hear the voice of God, but I want you to understand how He speaks. He speaks, yes, in that still small voice. He confirms it with wise counsel, sometimes with prophecy, and it will never violate what He's already spoken right here, okay? We need those checks and balances to help us to know when we're hearing the voice of God. And so I want to tell you this today, though, again. And I want to close with this today, and I'm out of time. Remember when Jehoshaphat was with Ahab, and he said, is there not a prophet of the Lord? When you think of Jehoshaphat, you usually think of the story where he was surrounded on all sides in 2 Kings 20, and he inquires of the Lord, and God tells him to send out the worshipers, and instead of sending out the warriors, he sends out the worshipers, and God goes before him and wins a great victory. But there's another story where there was another king of Israel, And this king of Israel came to Jehoshaphat. This is earlier, before. And said, I want to go to war. Just like Ahab. Almost the very same story. I want to go to war. Would you go with me? And again, Jehoshaphat says yes. But this time he neglects to ask for them to inquire the word of the Lord. And so they go to battle. They had to cross a desert. This is in 2 Kings chapter 3. They had to cross a desert. And before they get across the desert, they all run out of water. And they're dying. And then Jehoshaphat's like, oh, I forgot. We should have inquired of the Lord. Is there not a prophet here? And it just so happens that Elijah, who had been an apprentice to Elijah, was with them. He said, bring him on. And said, will you ask God what we're supposed to do here? Because we're dying in this desert, and we're not going to be in any shape to fight once we get through, if we make it through. And so here's what Elijah does. He calls for a musician, and he begins to worship the Lord. And then he gets a word from God, and he says, this valley here, dig some ditches, and tomorrow it'll be full of water. And sure enough, they did it. And the next day, there was water. But it comes back again to hearing the wisdom of the leading voice of God. And the way Elijah heard God, the way Jehoshaphat won those victories, was he continued to stay close to God. He heard God because he listened to the still small whisper. And that comes through worship. When we worship and pray. And you may be sitting here today saying, I've got a season of dryness in my life. It just feels like I'm going through a desert and I'm not hearing God. I want to tell you, just like Elijah called for the musician to worship and to get into the presence of the Lord, when you get close to him, you're going to hear the presence. You're going to hear the wisdom of God. You're going to hear that leading voice. How many of you in here, just close your eyes for a minute. No one looking around but me, you, and God. How many of you in here just say, that's me. It's been dry. I haven't really heard the voice of God. It's been a dry season. Maybe you haven't valued it as much. Maybe. But you're just saying, I need that rivers of living water in the stream of a desert here. I need to get close to God and begin to hear his voice clearly. If that's you, would you mind just raising your hand? Some of you are already raising your hand. Anyone else here today? So that's me right now. I need that refreshing.